Well, the last of the pre-reformers I want to draw attention to is Girolamo Savonarola, the Italian reformer and martyr. We often forget that there ever was a reformation in Italy, but actually there was. Born of Italian nobility in the city of Ferrara in 1452, Savonarola was described as a serious and intelligent boy who at an early age gravitated to the writings of some of the most learned men in history. He received instructions in philosophy, logic, and medicine from his father and from his grandfather. Notice how Florence was the biggest city in all of Italy at that time. Bigger than Rome. At that time. And it was in Florence that the Renaissance was most powerful. From studying the writings of Plato and Dante, he came to develop a deep spiritual hunger. And the pictorial illustrations of hell and Dante's Inferno tormented him. In 1475, he decided to become a monk, and he joined the Dominicans. And after an intense time of study, he was sent to the city of Florence. In the 15th century, the center of the Renaissance was Florence, Italy. And from this center of science and art, masters like Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci and Raphael produced exquisite and timeless art. In studying the writings of Augustine of Hippo, Savonarola came to see how far the church had fallen from its apostolic calling. And Girolamo Savonarola began to fearlessly preach Christ amidst the moral decay, the irreligious lifestyles, the superstitious beliefs, the unbiblical practices of the clergy and the community. He was just 38 years old when he began the work of Reformation in Florence. Vast crowds gathered to hear his denunciations of the prevalent corruption and immorality. The majestic cathedral was filled to overflowing by citizens of Florence, eager to hear the celebrated orator exposing the corruptions of this immoral ruling Medici family, the idolatry and the corruptions of the Catholic Church. Savonarola preached repentance from sin with a growing earnestness. Many hardened sinners surrendered their lives to Christ and forsook the evil ways of life. The ruler of Florence, Lorenzo Medici, tried to silence the reformer with gifts and attempted bribes. However, Savonarola was relentless and he was incorruptible. When Lorenzo was dying at age 44, he sent for Savonarola, but when the reformer found that Lorenzo had no intention of repenting of his sins, he refused him the blessing that was customary, the last rites, to give to the dying. He said, "You're not willing to repent your sins, you're not going to get any last rites blessings." Well, the people ousted Lorenzo's son and unanimously chose Savonarola as the ruler of Florence. For 3 years, Savonarola governed Florence with justice and efficiency. Savonarola intended the city to become an example of a Christian commonwealth in which God is the ruler and his gospel is the sovereign law. Dens of iniquity and vice were closed down, gambling was outlawed, licentious books and pictures were destroyed in a bonfire of the vanities. And Savonarola really made an impact. He reformed this town. The bonfire of the vanities comes from this time and event. We must regenerate the church, he taught. None are saved by their own works. No man can boast of himself. And if in the presence of God we could ask all these justified of sins, "Have you been saved by your own strength?" all would reply as with one voice, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to him be the glory." So he understood something about Christ alone and faith alone. Savonarola gave a special emphasis to the authority of the Bible. "I preach the regeneration of the church," he said, "taking the scriptures as my sole guide." So he's teaching sola scriptura as well. Some people began to resent the strictness of this new rule. Pope Alexander was one of the most notoriously immoral popes, who had 5 immoral children that were well known of, that he openly promoted to high office. This pope engaged in the most unscrupulous conduct, including bribery and murder. Pope Alexander VI took the lead in attacking the reform of Florence, and firstly he tried to make Savonarola a cardinal. He offered him great bribes. Savonarola rejected all these, declaring, "I do not desire any other crown than that of the crown of a martyr." He didn't want the red cap of the cardinal. He said, "I'll take the martyr's crown, not a cardinal's." Thereafter, the Pope attempted to spread slander to undermine the authority of Savonarola. Then the Pope excommunicated and had him imprisoned. The people who had previously acclaimed and supported Savonarola now allowed him to be tortured, and joined in a chorus of condemnation of the courageous reformer. You can see the fickleness of the crowd, like sheep, just turning from one side to the other, just like the crowds who welcomed Christ with Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the highest, waving palm fronds, laying down their cloaks, and then less than a week later, crucify him, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar, release Barabbas, crucify Christ. That kind of fickleness of the mob was seen in Florence. However, Savonarola remained steadfast. He refused to be shaken in his convictions even after the most unbearable tortures. So on the 23rd of May, 1498, Savonarola was burned to death in a great square in the city of Florence. But before this, they had him severely tortured in a rack, and he prayed, O Lord, I do not rely on my own justification, but on thy mercy. In between his tortures, he wrote meditations on Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, which are the penitential psalms, psalms of repentance, which Martin Luther later published these, by the way, and described them as a piece of evangelical testimony and Christian truth. Before a huge crowd, the bishop declared to the condemned Savonarola, I separate thee from the church militant and triumphant. Savonarola responded, militant, not triumphant, for you have no power to separate me from the church triumphant to which I go. See, the church militant is the church on earth. The church triumphant is the church in heaven. You cannot separate a believer from the church triumphant if he is a true believer. Savonarola died at age 45. Savonarola met his martyrdom with courage and faith, declaring, should I not willingly die for his sake, who willingly died for me, a sinful man? And in the middle of this great square, he met his end on earth. Revelation 2 verse 10 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. And he most certainly was that. These were the pre-reformers, and it led to the great reform of Martin Luther when he nailed his 95 theses in the church door of Wittenberg, 31st of October, 1517. And on the 18th of April, 1521, at Worms, Martin Luther made his historic stand before the emperor with the words, my conscience is captive to the word of God. This is the tower of the castle church where Martin Luther began the Great Reformation, the great fountain in Geneva, on Lake Geneva, where William Farel and Calvin launched the Reformation even further, William Farel debating in the marketplace in Geneva, Fromont preaching in Geneva Square, the people of Geneva voting to become Protestant. John Calvin was described as having the most perfect school of Christ since the days of the apostles in Geneva. Calvin's Academy. All of that lay ahead. But just these few examples of the pre-reformers showing what came before the greatest century of Reformation. We should not make the mistake of saying that there was no spiritual life in Europe before the Reformation. It was little, it was small, it was scattered, but it was real.